Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And Pastor Brian Parrish starts this week's study in Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, in a study entitled Preparing for Battle. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. And as we come to this portion of the scripture, I've entitled this message, Preparing for Battle. And where we find ourselves as we've been going through the book of Joshua is that the children of Israel have just passed over on dry land over the Jordan. God has said he was going to raise up Joshua and magnify him in the hearts of the people, and he's done this very thing through this powerful and mighty miracle. And now as they're coming into the land or on their way to come into the land, God has them stop at this one point because he wants to work something in them before they go on and defeat the enemy and take the territory that God has given to them. And so I have three words that I want to focus on for our study today, and that's the words fear, unbelief, and preparation. What I mean by fear, if you'd read verse 1 with me of Joshua chapter 5, where it says, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." And so as God parted the Jordan for them and this entire nation walked across on dry land, it brought the fear of God into the hearts of their enemy, the ones that they were going to go and take the land from. And this wasn't the first time this fear actually came into their heart, because you remember the story of the spies that went into Jericho. Rahab said, "All of our hearts are melting with fear because of you guys." And this is something supernatural that God was doing, because he did speak through Moses that he would say he would put the fear and the dread of you in the hearts of the people. And it's interesting that when God begins to work, or when God is working on behalf of the unbeliever, those that don't know the Lord, there's the fear that resonates within their hearts. And I was thinking about that in the life of our own church, in the life of our church services, of what we really want to happen when we gather together. You know, my desire is that as God's people, we would have a sense of a fear of the Lord as we gather, and that would drive us to him, to dependence upon him, as well as a desire for greater holiness and the work of his Spirit in us. As we worship together, we'd have a sense of who we're worshiping. We would worship in truth, we would worship in spirit, and we would understand that God's a holy God, and I need some adjustment in my life. I need to be changed. I don't want to come to church where I'm comfortable, where I just, everything's so nice, and everybody's so nice, and the message is so nice, and everybody's nice and comfortable. I need to be transformed and changed. I need to encounter the power of God. But also, when non-Christians come in here, we're not designing the service to make them feel comfortable. The service is for the believers to equip and to build up. And if a non-Christian comes in, and when they do, they should have a sense of being awkward or sense of the fear of God. Like, these people are different than me. I mean, I've been to church before, but these people seem to be genuine and sincere about it, and I'm the one left out. And that's a far different mentality of what many churches are moving towards, unfortunately. They're trying to design the church service so that the unbeliever is comfortable. And they're designing the service and the messages at the lowest possible level, I think spiritually, to try and meet the needs of the ones that don't even know the Lord. That's backwards in my thinking. We're not to dummy down the message and dummy down the worship and make the carnal people feel comfortable. They should feel uncomfortable. They should feel out of place because they are. They're in the presence of God. And if they're not right with them, our role isn't to pacify that. It's to be magnified within their hearts. And that's what God did in the early church. Look with me into the New Testament quickly in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And if you know your Bible, Acts chapter 5 is an unusual sort of set of circumstances where a husband and wife die right there at church. Now, I'm not saying that's what we want to see happen, but I want to see the response in the heart of people. That's what is interesting to me. Look at verse 12 and 13. Acts 5 verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." So it came to a point when God was working, and this was, again, this one situation where God disciplined members of the church, and God started to do miracles in the life of the congregation. It says people didn't dare join them. They had a fear or respect for the church, that if I go there, that means I'm serious about the Lord. That's the environment that we want to be a part of, not try and bring in the, you know, the backslider and the non-believer, make them feel comfortable. That just pacifies some religious desire they have, but not a real genuine conversion or desire to walk and to serve the Lord. We need to encounter a holy God and realize we need God's power in our life. We need to be transformed and changed. Look also at verse 5 of chapter 5 there. It says, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last, so great fear came upon all those who heard these things." The church, as well as those outside of the church. The church is designed ultimately for the Lord. The Bible says the ministry of the pastor teacher, part of his ministry is for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So we need to have our church services designed where people encounter the Lord. They have the sense of fear of God is upon their hearts, and a place where the power of God is touching them. And last week I mentioned that there's been a sense of frustration in my own heart in doing three services. We kind of rush people in and rush people out, try and avoid a traffic jam there in the parking lot and try and get the worship in, try and get the study in and get all that we want to accomplish. And there's a sense that we're rushing things. And I look at this sense of this fear of God. We need to have a place where we're able to encounter the Lord, let him touch our lives, let God, you know, touch the unbeliever, the backslider, but also his children, where he wants to minister to the life of the believers. And so what we are strongly considering is to make a slight change here in our service time to give us more time in between the services as well as during the service. We are praying about going to 7:45, 9:45, and 11:45. Now, it doesn't really make that much difference for this service because usually we're late anyways. Usually we start at 11:40, designed at 11:30 because of me basically teaching long and then the service spilling over. But I don't want to have a sense of being rushed to get the people in, get them out. And we have enough time to pray for the unbelievers coming in and see them receive the Lord. But when the word goes out and God's Spirit is ministering and working and hearts are sensitive, that's a time to bring people forward and minister to those needs. Let the Word of God get that sealed in their heart, as well as those that are just hurting and overwhelmed with life. We need to be able to lay hands on them, pray for them, see the comfort of God come into their life. But at this point, we're saying, you know, it's time for you to leave. We can't do those things. That's not right. And so we need to make that slight change. And so pretty much that's what we think we need to do as we prayed and I talked with my staff and we're all in agreement. That's the type of service that we want, where we are participating in the power and work of God. Even in this service, what we've done is typically our worship, the last song, we take the offering, but it's hard to worship and do the offering at the same time. Have you ever noticed that? I usually sit in the back, and it's interesting to watch. If a song's really provoking and stirring in people's heart, you can see as the offering goes, then the hands go. It's like we're doing the wave kind of slow as the offering goes back. And so it's kind of like we're trying to do two things at once there. So we're going to do the announcements and do the offering at the same time. And that worship time is just set just for worship, uninterrupted, a time when the Spirit of God touches people's lives, the Lord is honored. We just want to have services where there's a sense of the presence of God and his work and his move among us. We have that on our Wednesday night services. We have that on our communion service. And lives are being changed and transformed. And we want to see that brought right into the heart of our Sunday morning services. We need to be touched by the Lord. I don't know about you. I need to be touched by God as I come to church. I don't want to come in one way and leave that same way. I want to be changed and transformed. I want unbelievers to come in and have a sense of conviction, a sense of God's working in this place. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 when there's a prophecy that goes out? It says, the unbeliever says, the secrets of my heart are revealed. He falls down and he worships God. And he says, God is truly among you in this place. That's the sort of sense that we want as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that's the environment that God's going to strengthen his children as well as drive in more people unto himself. As I said, I want people to come in and look and say, man, these people are serious about the Lord. They're serious about worship. Even Christians that come from other places where maybe they don't worship with the same intensity, they would realize, hey, these people are into it. Maybe I need to conform my life to what I see happening in them. And as God starts touching lives, God's power starts changing people, those changed people say, man, you got to come to church. God's doing things. And they start dragging people in, and lives are changed and transformed. That's the sort of environment that we seek to have. And there's elements of that, and there's good, strong elements on Wednesdays. We need that on our Sunday service. I mean, hasn't there been times when the Word of God has gone out into your heart, and God has brought either encouragement or a sense of conviction? It's like, okay, Lord, I'm responding to you, but wouldn't you want to bring it to that to the altar and pray, and have someone pray with you and say, Lord, you work this. That's where that power of God kicks in as we gather in His name. So we're looking for that sense of fear of the Lord, the sense of His power working and moving among us.